Every day I'm hustling. 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 Every day I'm. Every day I'm. Every day I'm hustling.
Hey hustlers, welcome back to Jewels on the Hustle. Today we have an amazing tennis guest joining me, Anna Shibahara from Japan. I wanted to have her on the podcast a few months ago and it didn't work out because of preseason and then heading into her first WTA title in Abu Dhabi. But guess what? She won the title in Abu Dhabi with her doubles partner, Shuko Ayoma. So we are going to discuss her winning ways and break that down so we can just get all that inspiration and motivation that we so badly need. She's currently ranked 20 in the world in doubles. That is not an easy task right there. That is incredible. I'm so excited to hear how she got there and got there so quickly. So we're going to break that down. She is currently in the Australian Open bubble in Australia, obviously. And we're going to hear how, you know, she spends her time, how she keeps busy, and what that vibe is like. So I'm really excited to go into that. Guys, I made an Instagram page just for this podcast called at Jewels on the Hustle podcast. We talk all things hustlers. You get lots of behind the scenes of me recording and podcast stuff and this episode. Just feel good inspo daily. So please follow. And if you enjoy this episode, rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts on the app. If you don't have an iPhone, you can go on the desktop version on your laptop, because that, guys, that makes my world go round. I get very, very happy. But anyways, let's get right to it, Anna.
Anna, such an honor to have you on the podcast. You're a champion. You just won a title in Abu Dhabi with your partner. I hope I don't butcher this. Shuko Ayoma?
Oyama.
Oyama.
Yes.
So first of all, congratulations. That's huge.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
What is it about you two that really just like clicks and just you guys work well?
Well, I mean, starting off, I mean, she's just such an amazing person. She's so nice. And obviously she's been on tour for a very long time. So she has that, you know, wisdom and, but like, even though she's the top like Japanese doubles player in Japan, she's super humble. And I have so much to learn from her. And I feel like, so the very first time we played together was in San Jose. And when I met her, like, I was a little bit nervous, you know, because like, I didn't really know her like in person too much. I mean, we've had like a couple interactions, but I didn't know like how it was going to be like playing with her. But the very first match we played, like, there was just like that spark, and it was just like an amazing connection. And I feel like from there, like, we just knew like it was, I guess, meant to be. Yeah. And so that was our very first tournament, and we got to the finals. And it was a pretty big deal for me because it was my first premier tournament too. And it was like the highest level I've ever played. And from there, like, we, even though we lost like in the finals, we talked about like playing the Asia tour. And I feel like we kind of had our ups and downs. I feel like our biggest issue in the beginning was our communication, because I mean, I can speak fluent Japanese, but it's still a little, I mean, it's a lot better now, but back then it was a little like, I couldn't get like the right words out. And she was like, I mean, she's been playing with like foreign players, so she was like, you can definitely talk to me in English. And I was like, no, but I want to get better at Japanese. And so we kind of like worked out a system where I was like, if I don't know like the right word, like I can kind of start off like, or say it in English, and then we'll kind of like, you know, translate it together and like kind of figure it out. And so it's like a back and forth thing. And
that's awesome. So you get to practice speaking Japanese and you get to win on the tennis court. I actually, one time, I think it was in Canada, I was playing with a Japanese doubles partner that did not speak any English.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I obviously speak no Japanese. The whole our communication was giggling. I'm not even kidding, because you know I'm a giggler, and I feel like she was a giggler as well. So we use our fingers like with serving, like directionals, but we would just like, it was the cutest thing, but also probably the least effective method of communication. We lost the match. But we went to a third set tiebreaker, but there was a lot of laughing.
Well, I mean, I feel like it's so important to have fun. And that's a good, I mean, part of communication is, you know, giggling.
Yeah. So guys, I played doubles with Anna. So a total honor. One time, it was in 2018. And the thing about Anna, she's so fierce on the tennis court, but also like really sweet, a really sweet like doubles partner and a sweet person on and off the court. But again, like very fierce and competitive. So it's like the perfect balance to just, you're 20 in the world right now in doubles. Is that crazy to you, or did you expect it?
It is. I mean, it's definitely crazy. I didn't think I was gonna, you know, get this high so quick. Partly I want to thank my partner. I mean, aww. I feel like
you've had so many amazing partners and you've done well with everybody, so I think that's a testament to you as well. So don't take that away from you.
But yeah, I feel like also playing with Shuko, I mean, she, when I first started out, I was about like, I think it was around like 98-ish, and she was like ranked 20, and that was like part of the reason why we got into like the premier tournament. And because of that, like I got a lot of points because we got to the finals, and then from there, like playing a lot of premieres and like the higher level tournaments really helped me with my ranking. And I feel like, I mean, thanks to her, I mean, thanks to all my partners, but like, I mean, I feel like she, you know, had also had to take a chance on me, you know, because she, I mean, she's already has such a high ranking. She didn't really need to play those like lower premieres or like the lower ones, but she, I mean, I feel like, I mean, the more tournaments we play, the better we got. So I think, yeah, I was definitely really lucky.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad it's working out. I know what it's like, you know, playing with a partner that's ranked a good amount ahead of you. I felt pressure. Did you feel pressure at that time that you felt like you had to play well enough to, you know, show her that you're worth being here or worth playing with her? Yeah,
definitely. I definitely had a lot of pressure. I was nervous playing our first match together, but I feel like that helped me like play my best. And I think I played one of my best tennis, like play that first match, like I was playing really well and I was really happy.
Yeah, you had to set the standard high from the beginning. You knew no loose errors, and sometimes it like makes you play better, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Works for me. So before you went to Abu Dhabi, you had your preseason. How was your preseason overall?
I feel like my preseason was really good. It was my second preseason of my career, and I feel like I learned a lot from my first preseason. And I actually went to Japan to train with my partner, and I got to train with her all throughout December, so a whole month like practicing with her every day, and I feel like that really helped. And also, I was able to meet with my oldest brother, who's my trainer. And I got to, you know, kind of work on my fitness and strength in my body. And I feel like that really helped as well. So I have two older brothers. my oldest brother lives in Japan and is my trainer. My second oldest brother is actually traveling with me as my coach.
Wow.
I got to bring him with me to Japan. And it was really nice, like, getting to work with him. I mean, he traveled with me all last year, and so we have that groove going. So I feel like that really helped me, like, while I was training in Japan, to, like, work with me and my partner. And I think that really helped us, you know, do well, like, right off the bat. And I didn't think that we were gonna win that first tournament, because last year I did the same kind of thing. Like, I did go to Japan to train with her, but, like, the first two tournaments in Australia, like, we didn't do as well as we thought we would. So I was really happy that we kind of, I feel like we have that improvement as a team every year. So yeah, I was really happy about that win.
So when you were in Japan for preseason, did you get to stay with your brother?
We stayed at my grandparents' house for the first 2 weeks of quarantine. Okay. And then after that, we stayed at the National Training Center. They have, like, a hotel, and they just have singles. So, I mean, we just stayed at the same hotel, but we stayed in different rooms.
That's convenient. That's cool. And then, so then you headed off to the WTA. You actually also played singles. So how does that work? You know, your doubles ranking is very high, and then, you know, you're working on your singles ranking. How do you determine how to make your schedule, or is doubles the main focus right now?
Like you said, I really love singles as well.
I know, you're an amazing singles player as well. Serve and volley. Guys, get to see Anna serve and volley.
Plan is doubles main right now. The reason for that is, well, my goal is to play for the Olympics. And so that's why I was kind of, you know, doing doubles main, but always signing in like as an alternate for those tournaments, so that I can have kind of like a chance to get into singles. And there are some times where, you know, some spots open up and I get to play. And luckily this time, like, I got lucky this time and got in. And I was really happy about getting my first singles win. And I was really nervous though, because I haven't played singles in so long.
No, that's a real thing. I totally know what you mean. Like, if you have a week of doubles and then you go to a tournament and play singles, the court feels so big. Like, people don't understand that difference. And it just, you don't know where to hit. Like, all of a sudden your brain changes. It's a real thing. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, it was like, you know, doubles, you cover half the court, and then all of a sudden, like, singles, you're just there by yourself. You don't have anyone to, like, you know, be there for you. So yeah, it was definitely nerve-wracking, but I kind of had to, you know, get rid of those feelings, and I did better than I thought I would. And then second match, I was a lot closer than I thought I was going to be, and it was so close, but I mean, my opponent was great, and she ended up beating Pliskova. Like,
wow. Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I remember that. I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's some players, like, I'm thinking of Elise Mertens and was it Arnya Sabalenka? They're so dominant in both. Mm-hmm. Like, how are some players able to, you think, be so dominant on both sides, and then maybe others are just more dominant in one than the other? Like, so how are like Sabalenka and Mertens, you think, able to balance that so well? And then hopefully soon you.
Thanks. I mean, I feel like they both have, you know, that strong base, you know, they have great ground strokes, great returns, great serves. And, you know, even though like they have that great baseline game, they also have great hands at net. So although I don't think they're the most like net dominant player, like they don't, you know, go for a lot of poaches, but I've seen some of their matches where, you know, they hit a great ball from the back and then the net player would, you know, take that opportunity and get that middle ball. And I feel like that's really strong. I mean, I'm not sure if they're successful in singles first and then doubles or doubles and then singles. I'm not too sure.
That's a good question.
Yeah. I mean, there are some players, you know, who were great at doubles first and then, you know, but they, I'm not
that too seems sure, to be more of the trend, I'd say, better on doubles first and then the singles catches up.
Yeah,
those two, I maybe want to say the doubles first.
Maybe. Yeah.
Look, I'm going to look that up later. It's interesting.
Okay. And I feel like where I need to be better at in singles is I feel like I do have those bases, but I definitely need to improve on consistency, which is really important in singles, you know?
Yeah.
And so I feel like I'm very aggressive. Like you've seen me play singles. I mean, we played each other and I like to come to net and I like to kind of, you know, go for winners. But I think
actually some people listening to this podcast may think being aggressive just means blasting balls from the baseline. So in Anna's case, she's actually not only like aggressive from the baseline, although you do hit pretty heavy shots, she's aggressive in her positioning. She transitions to the net, whether it's off of the serve, so like a serve and volley, or she always finds those opportunities to come to the net during the point. So that's also aggressive positioning is also aggressive tennis. So just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, thanks.
No problem.
And I feel like, I mean, doubles, you know, it's so quick. Like a lot of the points, you know, there's not a lot of rallies. So I feel like I'm better at doubles just because, you know, I hit, you know, two good shots and come to net and, you know, you got to finish it off with a volley. But in singles, you know, the court's so big and you can't.
A little more patient, maybe. Right. Yeah. Wait for the right opportunities.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like I need to learn how to find that right, you know, shot, right opportunity to kind of get in there. And, you know, sometimes it's, you know, if you play a tough opponent and they don't give you that opportunity as much as you want to. And I feel like I need to be patient and, you know, work the rally and, you know, just wait for that short ball. And I still need to work on that.
You're getting there. Definitely. I actually caught Anna on her off day today. So I actually do want to talk about your time in Australia. That is the hot topic. I mean, it is, I don't know. I feel like it's chaotic. Not because of you, obviously, but there's just so much. We're just sitting back here enjoying the media coverage. It's pretty funny, but it's also, of course, some players are having it harder than others.
Yeah.
You're out 5 hours a day of the hotel room. Can you give me a breakdown of your day in quarantine? What do you do? Like your routine? Mm-hmm. What day are you on right now?
Okay. So today's the 26th. So I think we're day 12.
Day 12.
Yeah, day 12. Yeah, so we're very close to the end. So basically, in general, we kind of figure out our schedule the night before. The night before, and then we figure out our time slots. So usually, past couple of days, I had a
That's okay.
When did I go yesterday? The thing is, like, we left the room at around like 9 o'clock, and then we get about 15 minutes to kind of walk to the courts, and then we get court time for 2 hours. So from 10 to 12, we get to practice. And then from 12 to 1:30, we get gym time. And so we had an hour and a half of gym, which is pretty generous, I feel like.
Yeah, that's a good amount of time.
Yeah. And then after that, we kind of walk back to the hotel and we get an hour of nutrition, which is like, it's kind of like snack time, basically. I feel like they were kind of like giving us that social time that we kind of want, you know, with like our partner, and like not just, you know, just see each other when training and then just go back to our hotel and, you
and
know,
Zoom.
Isolate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what goes down in that hour?
We kind of get food and we just, you know, eat and then basically kind of just socialize for the hour. And then once we're done with that, we just go back up to our room and then isolate for the rest of the day.
Hey guys, it's me. I wanted to step in here and clarify that this snack time is socially distanced and it is outdoors. It's not a break, you know, from the COVID rules and the safety protocols. Wanted to step in and tell you guys so you know. All right, enjoy the rest of the episode, hustlers.
So how have you been keeping busy during the day? How about like the rest of your meals? How does that work?
So they have set meals for us, but we can opt out of it. I haven't had the best time with the meals here. So
that's what I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, some people like it. I mean, some of the meals are nice. I also feel like it's not enough. Okay. So
that's important. Just, you know, you're training, getting ready. Like you need to have not only good food, but enough food.
Yeah.
To small portions.
Yeah. So I just kind of order Uber Eats and kind of get it sent here. And it's been good, I feel like. And I also, I kind of just like to chill when I'm in my room. So I just watch some Netflix or like kind of play some games, like just on my phone. And, or I did call my friends, kind of like to catch up. And
at UCLA, like, or at California, California.
Yeah. And or like my family, like kind of keep touch with them and let them know what's going on.
Is it okay if I ask you what you thought of what was wrong with the food in the hotel? Was it, besides it being too small, was it cold? I heard people saying it was cold. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not hot. Yeah. It's mostly cold food.
Mm-hmm.
Like salads. I haven't gotten, I kind of opted out of the dinner for a while, so I don't remember what the dinner has been like, but
was it healthy? Or
I think it's healthy. I mean, it's a lot of salads and it's not a lot of like fats or anything, so
yeah, salads won't cut it for dinner.
Yeah,
you need some carbs first of all.
Need
your protein. Yeah. Yeah, fats, like your healthy fats. Yeah, so I don't know. That's a problem for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I kind of like a strong taste. So like, I sometimes feel like it kind of lacks some flavor.
There you go.
So I kind of always kind of find myself like putting some salt on it and trying to make it a little bit
flavorful. So it's bland. Yeah.
Yeah.
No good. How has the overall vibe, would you say, been like with the quarantine? Some of the girls and guys are in stricter quarantines,
right?
Overall vibe of, you know, the players on your side of things. Obviously I've heard my own stuff, you know, through the media, but
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the vibe is, I mean, it's like both strict and, I mean, but it's, I feel like it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Strict is meant like, you know, they kind of, they have to like knock on your door to like pick you up to like go to the courts, and they kind of like escort you. And then definitely the times are very strict, and they make sure that like they give you a 5-minute heads up before like you have to end your practice. First couple days they were like really adamant about the like social distance, like even between your team, which was like a little weird because I mean we're basically close contact already, but I think for the media, like we need to set that example. So like even just going to the courts, or like, oh, just make sure you keep your distance from each other. Because I've seen like when we go from the hotel to the courts, there are some like people like taking pictures and like the cameras are rolling. So
it's kind of like holding you guys accountable and also setting like an example.
Yeah. And like, also, I mean, we have to like hand sanitize like at least like 10 times a day, which is, it's a lot.
How are your hands doing? You have enough lotion?
Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like, I mean, 5 hours is a lot. Doesn't feel like it's not enough.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Do you feel like prepared with the amount of hours they give you?
In that sense, I want a little bit more court time, just because I like to practice a lot. And I feel like 2 hours.
You wish maybe you can take one of those half hours from the gym onto court, right? And then have an hour.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. And also the thing, we love doing practice matches, and they canceled that. They canceled the amount of people we can have close contact with, just because there are some positives that came up, and they said they didn't want to risk, you know, if like during quarantine, if we, you know, add more people that we meet, you know, if they get a positive, then we all have to we all won't be able to play like Australian Open because it's already, you know, that
within that time frame.
Yeah Wow. So they said like, let's not risk it. And I did agree with it, because I feel like we shouldn't risk it, and we just don't know what would happen. And we were like, I mean, if we can practice with them after quarantine, then like I think we just be patient and but I mean, I feel like there's so much you can do with your partner, you know, like every day for 2 weeks. So I mean, we tried to like kind of mix it up, you know, sometimes we would split the hour and just have like a one-on-one with our coach. And that really kind of helped me reset my like technique and game. And then after that, like the next day we would practice again with each other. And I feel like that made it a little bit more, I guess, valuable, or, you know, like it was better practice.
Yeah. Has anyone else agreed that they felt maybe like the 2 hours went a little quickly for tennis time?
I haven't really been able to like talk with like other players. Just
that's a good point. So yeah. Cut off. I didn't even think of that.
And like our schedule, like the first couple days we, like Haley, you know, like I'm really good friends with Haley and Louisa, and they were actually supposed to be our practice partners for the second week. And the first couple of days we were like scheduled like next to each other, but then for some reason we got split off, and so we have completely different schedules, and so like I like don't get to talk to them at all, which is a little lonely. But in the past couple of days, we only the people next to us are like guys, and I don't really know them. Sometimes, like, I mean, they're nice, but we don't like talk to them as much. So I don't really know what other players think.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Besides maybe adding an extra half hour to the tennis, is there any other changes you wish to see in your quarantine? Besides maybe also upping up the game with the food, maybe improving the food a bit, the food game?
Honestly, no. I feel like we were pretty, I guess I could say like we were pretty spoiled with our quarantine, you know, because I mean, quarantine, you know, you're supposed to not be outside, you know, like you're supposed to be inside, like not doing anything. And
24/7.
Yeah, I'm just like really grateful to even be out there practicing. And so I feel like I just have to, you know, feel, I guess, lucky in a sense to like have that opportunity to even practice, because I don't know what I would do if I didn't get that chance to, you know, hit the ball. And I feel, I don't know if this is like the right thing to say. Like, I just feel really bad for like the people who are in strict quarantine, which I mean,
I think that's totally reasonable to say. I feel really bad too.
Yeah. And I just hope they can get enough, you know, that prepare, like get enough time to be prepared for the Australian Open. I mean, cause it's so important, you know, and they did add an extra tournament for the WTA that has like a later start date, which I think was really nice.
It's only for the players, you know, strict quarantine, right?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I mean, there's only, you know, so much you could do in a room. And
seriously,
I feel like, I mean, so many players, I feel like they're so creative, you know, like putting up the bed to make some more room. Like, I don't think I would have even thought of that. Cause I mean, the first, I think 3 days, like we weren't allowed out of the room because there were so many, like, we had to wait for all the flights to come in and like wait for all the test results to come back. And I was like, by the second and third day, I was like, oh my God, like, what do I do? Like, I feel like I'm doing nothing. And I tried to do some like practice swings and I was like, I don't have enough space. And I felt bad to like even hit against a wall because I mean, just so you know, that hotel etiquette, you know, you don't want to bother.
I know what you mean. And it was funny because on social media you see everyone like hitting balls against the walls. Yeah. And I was making a joke. I was like, wow, this hotel is gonna have to undergo a lot of renovation after the Australian Open. There's gonna be dents all over the walls. And I mean, I'm sure some people accidentally hit the walls with their rackets. Like, there's
probably, oh my gosh, yes,
marks everywhere. Oh my gosh.
I was like, and like the players that hit against the window, I'm like, oh my God, please don't break it. I mean, I don't think they would, but like, you just never know, you know, it's just like so crazy. But putting up the bed, I feel like that was really smart, but.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So when does your WTA event start?
The 31st.
The 31st. So, okay. So you'll have a few days of normal practice, so you can get some practice matches in, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And then heading into the Australian Open. One last topic I want to discuss with you is, it's interesting that the qualifying of the Australian Open in singles was you know, a couple of weeks ago in the UAE, and now they're a few weeks until the main draw. What's interesting about that is there's two ways to look at it. One, you can say, you know, when you're a qualifier, after three matches, you usually get kind of tired.
Right.
So it's nice, like they're coming in fresh. but also mm-hmm. some people use the three matches as momentum and they don't have that momentum anymore. But I think overall it's pretty helpful for the qualifiers, wouldn't you say? Yeah. So
yeah, for sure. I feel like, I mean, three matches is a lot, you know, and I feel
two out of three sets, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, in a normal tournament, like that's like half the tournament already. And then you have to go into the Grand Slam where you have to play 5-6 matches. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that'll be beneficial for the qualifiers. And I mean, yeah, like they won't have that momentum, but I mean, there are these matches where they can play, you know, like the extra tournament that they can play.
The warm-up tournament, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like they can use that as momentum into the tournament and have that good rest.
Exactly. Well, Anna, it was such a pleasure having you on here, and I wish you the best of luck in the Australian Open and the warm-up tournament.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad you had a good time. I was using my new mic, so I hope it sounds extra good for an extra amazing guest. So.
Well, that was fun chatting with Anna, learning about her winning ways, talking to her about the Aussie bubble and all that good stuff. Question for you hustlers. If you had 5 hours a day to leave your hotel room, how would you spend it? What would you do? Let's say you were a tennis player or you're an athlete of a sport. Would you want, like Anna, a little bit more time spent on your sport and maybe a little bit less time in the gym? Or would you prefer more hours in the gym? Or would you like more time just to, you know, do whatever you want for that, you know, in that time span? How would you spend your 5 hours? I think this answer would vary for everyone, honestly. I'd say for me, I think 2 hours would be enough on the tennis court, and then I don't know, you know, that hour and a half in the gym is quite long. I'd say an hour in the gym, although I could always spend an extra half hour stretching, you know, there's never enough, but I guess you can stretch in your hotel room. So just, I want to get you guys thinking and brainstorming. How would you spend your 5 hours away from the hotel room? But I'm happy for Anna. It sounds like she's embracing the lifestyle and the quarantine lifestyle. She'll be leaving soon, though. She'll get to do all her match play that helps her thrive in tournaments before heading into her WTA title on the 31st. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you liked it, please rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. I really appreciate that. We have so many awesome guests lined up for the next few weeks, non-tennis players and tennis players. I want this podcast to revolve around finding your why and what motivates successful individuals, what inspires them and just gets them on their feet each day, ready, you know, to get after their day, to seize the day. But guys, it was a pleasure making this episode. I hope you learned a thing or two, you feel inspired, and you're ready to tackle your day. I will see you hustlers next Monday. Bye-bye.
Every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling.